Okay, Wednesday evening, 3:30, 22. No nonsense, look at the book of Revelation. We're not going on with the Daniel study. I've kind of got it diverted to different directions. So the title of this is Obadiah. Obadiah. Before I start this, I want to give reference credit to Red Pill the World from the book End Times, Major Clues from Minor Prophets. Our first scripture is Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now, end times are not just in Revelation. They're all through the 6,000 years of human history where the prophets have proclaimed the coming of the Lord in different ways. We're going to look at that tonight. Some of the Old Testament prophets proclaim the days that we're living in now. The one I want to look at in this teaching is Obadiah. It's a very small one chapter. All right, Obadiah is right over there behind Amos. We'll read it. It's just one chapter, so 21 verses. All right, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God, concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, that thou dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Does that sound familiar? Just listen to that. That though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. If you look in the book, it's particularly in the book of Jasher, one of the ones that was in the Apocrypha that's been taken out of the King James Version, actually. You see just how awful this guy was. It was like he was horrible. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in that day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shalt thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. From what I understand, from what I remember, when it came the time where they took Joseph from Egypt to bury him, his brothers, Esau would not let them have the plot of land that Abraham bought to bury Sarah in. Isaac and Rebekah were buried there too, I guess. They refused to let their own kin even bury there, I think. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity. No, I'm wrong about that. It was Jacob. He wouldn't allow Jacob. It was Joseph and his entourage from Egypt went to bury their father. Okay. Nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return unto thy own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, the house of Joseph a flame, the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the kingdom of captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Shepharan, shall possess the cities of the south. All saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Okay, let's get into this. All right, Obadiah prophesied the coming destruction of Esau. Another name for Edom is Esau. All right. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All right. Esau was of the seed of not God. All right, I want to read Revelation chapter 12 to you. I've said on several occasions that this chapter tells us biblical history. We see here how Satan, every woman that conceived. See, this was the, when Abraham had the covenant with God, this was the birth of the Israelites. This was their lineage. This was really that we're connected to. We're the seed of Abraham based on faith according to promise through salvation. So we're connected all the way through the line. So the beginning was Abraham and the promise. Okay? All right. Let's read chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Upon her head a crown of 12 stars. You know, I always thought that that was Mary, but I don't believe so now. I don't believe that. I believe that this is really, it could have started with Rebecca. And we'll see why here in a minute. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now, Edom is red. Okay. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and it cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. I've told you, like in the fall, in the garden, they did not know when Messiah was coming. So every woman in that lineage, they didn't know that they weren't the one that might have the Messiah, except for the fact that it was an immaculate birth. Wasn't conceived by man, or of the will of man. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her their 1,260 days. Now, I don't know what that means. Never have figured that one out. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. The accuser of our brethren was cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for times and half time from the face of the serpent. And the spirit, or the serpent, cast out his mouth. And the spirit, I'll get it right in a minute. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now I want to bring up a few points here. The women, if you notice, especially starting in Genesis, they all seem to be barren. I got to thinking about that. Why were they barren? I guess the devil. How else? A hindrance. Anything to stop the seed from coming forth. The Messiah. Enmity between the seed of the woman. Okay. All right, let's look at Genesis 15. Abraham went to the Lord and was asking the Lord about an heir. All right, verse 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. All right, now turn with me to Genesis 25. See, Jacob is the one that started, out of him came the 12 tribes, right? Okay. Genesis 25:19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's seed. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, and the Syrian of Padan Aram, his sister, to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over. Think about what we're going through. Think about it. What is trying to take over our nation? The red dragon, the red beast. Communism, call it what you want. Red all over like a hairy garment. And they called on his name, or called his name, Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. His name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. All right. Isaac nearly messed up everything because he was enamored by his son Esau because of his manliness. But he learned to miss God. That's also in the book of Jasher. Abraham was very distressed over it because he knew Jacob was the heir, not Esau. So that's why Rebekah ended up tricking Isaac and tricking Esau, because the heritage was in question here. She did what she could to preserve the godly line. It would have been disastrous if Esau had gotten in there, more so than today. All right. Now we're going to see how Edomites think about things. What did Obadiah say? The Lord would take out the mountain of Esau, and then the kingdom would be the Lord's. I'll read that again. This is Genesis right here, 29. We'll look at it here. Just the characteristics of this guy. All right, 29 says, "And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point of to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?'" Think about the Edomites of today and how they think about God and about God's things. They hate anyone that is of God and anything of God. It's like they don't have, they're missing something. Well, Jesus, you know. And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. All right. All right, Edomites do not care about God or the things of God. All they care about are themselves. Sound familiar? Sound like the cabal? They want to take everything away from us and kill us. These are the Edomites, the lineage of Esau. All right, now Genesis 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, "My son." And he said unto me, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard then when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speaking to Esau thy brother, saying, 'Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I commanded thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will fill me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son, and she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, eat, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and cursed be he that blesses thee. Wait a minute, and curses thee, and blesses thee. Okay, blesses thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? Brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto him, Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and with wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by the sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke off of thy neck. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning of my father are at hand, then I will slay my brother Jacob. All they know is take. I'll kill you, like Naboth, like Ahab. Yeah. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort herself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother in Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away. It was about 20 years, I think. Till thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him, that I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life be? Now we know he went and married women from the Ites to displease his parents purposely, okay? Also in the book of Jasher, I hadn't even thought about it, but whenever he did come back with all of his family, children, Esau planned to come and kill him. And he met angels along the way, several occasions, that threatened him, if you touch him. So by the time he had all those visitations and he met his brother, he had a different story. He acted differently. Okay. All right, they don't care about anything that's good. All right, now we'll look at Romans chapter 9. And this is Paul talking here. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Are these the ones Jesus was talking about when he said, you know, those Jews that are of the synagogue of Satan, those that say they are Jews and are not? Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Yeah. This evil lineage has passed down from Isaac and Rebekah until the present day. Obadiah foretold it in his day. Strong's right here, Edom, is red in the Hebrew. Isn't that interesting? Because of the beast. Communism. All right, now with that, I want to go to Revelation chapter 17. And there came one of the seven, verse 1, angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. This is a beast system. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Yeah, adrenochrome. Just think about that. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not shall ascend out of the bottom of the pit and shall go into perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and another is not yet come. When he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. See, this beast comes up out of the pit. We've talked about portals and all the portals opening and everything. These spirits inhabit these men. These people that we deal with today, they're demon-possessed. They'd have to be to act the way they do and do the things they do, the atrocities that they've done. The 10 horns which I saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. We're talking about, I believe, the Vatican, Rome. We come back to Rome again, you know. All right, Genesis 22 and 23. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Okay, one more New Testament scripture here. This is Hebrews 12. Sixteen says, "Lest there be any fornicator, a profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." I looked up the word profane. It means heathenish and wicked. So this just food for thought, a little different take on what we've been studying. But you know what? It just tells me that we're all in this together from the beginning, all 6,000 years to now. Okay.